We now welcome Jason Kendall on the show, former big leaguer, and he has a new book out called Throwback, and he's written it along with Lee Judge. And Jason, I'm a big Oakland A's fan, and when you got traded over to the A's, I was very excited. And coming from a Bucks team that had a lot of down years, I remember you said you were pretty excited about it. What was that like coming to the American League?
Well, you know what, I think first and foremost, well, actually, first of all, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to win, and, you know, Pittsburgh was going in a different direction at that time. And, you know, it's funny, everybody asks me, you know, what were your favorite years of playing? And two stand out to me, and I say Oakland and Milwaukee, only because we won, went to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what, I loved it in Oakland. We had great teammates. I loved it everywhere I went. You know, I got to get a big league uniform dirty on a daily basis, and that was my job. It's kind of a cool gig.
Not too bad at all. And you think about it too, a first round pick coming out of high school in LA, and a guy that ended up working out for the Pirates. And I remember at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Pirates only carried one catcher. I mean, what? So you just knew you were doing 162 day game after night game, doubleheader, all that.
Well, it was Cota went down. Humberto Cota, and Craig Wilson was playing right field. So there were two. So if something had happened to me. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I enjoyed playing the game, and I did it as hard as I could for as long as I could possibly do it, and I enjoyed it. But, yeah, there was a stretch of about 2 months where we had one catcher, but Craig was in the outfield if something happened to me.
Now, Jason, when I heard you're going to be on the show, you talk about the 2 years of your career. There are two plays that stick out for me. One of them was the tag out on Michael Young. And when they handed me your book, I see your face, and I'm like, well, that's got to be the Michael Young play. And then I turn the book over, and there he is sliding in. You basically tagged him out with your cheek. And the other one was when John Lackey said, stick your elbow out or whatever, and I had heard that maybe that day you were ready, you were kind of on edge thinking that the team needed a little spark and maybe you were feeling a little bit froggy. If you could talk about the tag of Young with your face and then the Lackey incident.
Well, the tag of Young, Justin Dukeshire was pitching and it was the ninth inning. I should have blocked the ball, bottom line, but then got up. Michael got a good jump and the ball actually kind of kicked back to me, and it was we were in a pennant race. We were in Texas was, I can't remember, we were in a pennant race with Anaheim, but Texas was, you know, they were right there as well, and I honestly don't remember. Grabbed the ball, got him out, game was over, and went and got a Bud Light.
And the Lackey thing, and I also remember after the game, both of you guys were sort of like, hey, you know, I respect the guy. We handle it like men, and then it's over with.
Well, yeah, though the Lackey thing was, it had nothing to do with us needing a jump start or anything like that, but it was more so that it was a 3-1 pitch. It was bases were loaded. I got a free ribby out there. All I got to do is hit a sack fly. Once again, it was we were in a pennant race, and that's who we're going up against. And I, when I played, I had this problem, people yelling at me. I could take a lot of stuff, but when people yelled at me, and he didn't just say, get your elbow pad out of the way. There were about four or five, six other words that were used, and I'm not going to let anybody speak to me like that. But, you know, I respect Lackey, and you know, that was a long time ago. And those are just things that happen. I think one thing that people don't understand is how intense it is on a baseball field. And me, I can say that now because I look back. My last year was 2010 with Kansas City, and I look back now, and it's easy to be an armchair. Well, swing the bat, swing. You know, but on television, you can't see the ball sink. You can't see the ball cut. It looks easy. And I think that's one of those things in the book that it does look easy on TV because I watch a lot of games on TV. I don't go on the road with the Royals. And you kind of like swing the bat. And I'm kind of getting like the other side of it going, huh, now you know why people are sitting there yelling at you. Kind of swing the bat because it looks pretty darn easy on TV.
Rick Tittle with Jason Kendall. We're going to talk about his book, Throwback, that's out now. And you mentioned, I mentioned being a throwback. Your dad, Fred, was a catcher in the bigs. And growing up, I mean, a lot of little kids, they want to be a shortstop. For you, did you always want to be like your dad? You always wanted to catch?
No, you know what? I always wanted to be a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to play the infield, just like everybody else. But you know what? He threw me back there every once in a while in Little League. And It was actually my mom's fault because she got mono and was sick for about 2 months. And my mom always said, don't let him catch. And I get it now because I'm doing the same thing with my son, the way my body feels now. But my mom got mono and sick, and my dad threw me back there, and that was it. But I didn't really start catching until I was a sophomore in high school. I think our starting catcher got in a fight and was suspended, and our backup catcher went. I can't remember what happened. A couple guys stole on him, and they put me back there, and that was when I started catching every day. And love it. Best thing I ever did, because you know what? You're always in the action. And you know, baseball can be boring if you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might get a ground ball at short or second or fly ball in the outfield, maybe three a game. But, you know, catching-wise, you're in every pitch, and you have to be in every pitch. And you have to be locked in.
No doubt about it. And when I think about you and your time with the A's, I remember most of the time, no batting gloves. I also remember that you have the ability to grow a beard, I think, in about 2 hours, because you came out one time, you had a full beard. After a couple innings, you just had a mustache, and then by the eighth, it was gone. It's like you were shaving in stages that game.
Well, that was I had a full beard at the time, and we had just clinched the AL West, and every inning I came out, it was something different just to mess around. I had that day off. But, yeah, I looked awful with the regular mustache.
Now, just yesterday at the A's game, and I do the pre- and post-game for the A's on their flagship station, just yesterday, John Jaso threw out Jose Altuve trying to steal third, and you figure, yeah, big deal. That was the first base runner caught stolen all year. And you always hear, well, you steal it on the pitcher. But you tell a guy like Yachty or I-Rod, they might say, no, I got something to do with that too. Why do you think it is that guys like Norris and Jaso and even Vogt when he was up there have so much trouble throwing a guy's out? Is it footwork? Is it timing? Or is it just mostly the pitcher?
You know, it's a case of a lot of things. But, you know, a lot of times it's the pitcher, but it could be the footwork. It could be your exchange. You know, and once again, you get in that little rut where you don't throw out 8, 9, 10. Then you get a little tight, and you try to make every throw perfect. It is, without a doubt, I'm talking about the one to second base, the hardest throw in baseball. And I don't care what anybody says. Because you have so much you have to do, and you can't let your arm get out in front. You have to have your whole body working. And, you know, the ball might be in the dirt, but it's one of those things where if it keeps going bad, 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 you want to try to do. A lot of catchers nowadays don't do what they're capable of doing. They try to do too much. And when you see a guy get a good jump, you try to do too much. And I mean, I used to be able to launch balls all over the place. And it was just trying to do too much to help the team out. And when you start doing that, as opposed to just being relaxed, and it's a big thing with your mind. If you slow everything down in your mind, and you're like, oh, I feel real slow. Then you go back on video, you're just as quick as when you're trying to rush. But it's a big mind thing. You really have to slow everything down and try to make everything go in slow motion. And once you can do that, your whole body's going to work together. But it's a tough throw. I mean, there's so many different things that are going on when a runner steals. It could be the jump, and we see it. If it's the jump, we see it, and then you try to make a better throw, which is not always a good thing because that's usually when one hops the center fielder, which is not good. But It's a tough play, and it's one of those things where those guys just need to take a step back, relax, and when a guy goes, you can't get real rushed. You just got to do what you can do and let the ball go and let the second baseman and shortstop take care of the rest.
A couple more questions for Jason Kendall. The new rule, the Buster Posey rule, as we like to call it, basically what you have now is a guy standing in front of home plate, and it's all sweep tags. And it's so many things that are nebulous about when you can block the play, but you have to have the ball already. And these things are instantaneous most of the time. You might be trying to dig out a short hop while you're getting in front of the play. Then they review it. I think naturally catchers are instinctual to block that play and protect their territory, but we're in a whole new world. What do you think about this rule so far, Jason?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? Once again, my last year was 2010. The times change. First, when I heard about replay, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Then I heard about the play at the plate. I think that the play at the plate thing, the only reason I dislike it, because I think it's one of the most exciting plays in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. That being said, hell, I wish they had that rule when I was there. I can drop a knee on somebody in 2 seconds, and you can't worry. You don't have to worry about the guy that's 220 coming full speed, you know, knocking me into the stands. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wish they had it when I played, because it'd been a lot more fun for me. But you know what? I could see my opinion means nothing, but you got to change. The times are changing for the replay, and then the play's the plate, and all these concussions now. And started with football. Started with all these guys. You look back at Seau and Ryan Friel. I'm not saying that's. I just know that a lot of the talk is about concussions, and if you can protect the players and protect them, but it's one of those things. It's kind of just a. I've missed the exciting play at the plate, but if it helps some catchers out, it's a great thing as well.
Speaking with Jason Kendall, one of the best hitting catchers of all time, over 2,000 career hits. And I've always said, Jason, professional athletes should play as long as they feel like it. And as long as somebody will give them a uniform and a check, they should do it. And I know a couple of years ago, your rotator cuff was destroyed. You tried a couple games at Double A for the Royals there in Arkansas, and then you said, that's it. But I guess you could look yourself in the mirror and say that you played every last second you could, right?
Yeah, and if I could throw right now, I'd probably still be playing, backing up somewhere. But that's not the case. And, I'm glad that I went down and gave it. I had 15 screws after my second surgery, and it wasn't just rotator, it was everything. And I made a throw. About 7-8 of them popped out.
Oh.
That's when I say, nope, no more. Because I got two perfect kids at home, and I'd like to be able to pick them up, play catch with them, and metal shoulder, I'd just be throwing darts. But if I didn't go back and try to play, about 10 years from now, I'd why didn't I? So I went, tried it, and I like I said earlier, I did it
now,
as I could, as long as I could.
Well, you get together with Lee Judge. You decide on writing a book, Throwback. And subtitled "The Big League Catcher Tells How the Game Is Really Played." What was the genesis behind this book? When you were playing, were you thinking mental notes like, "Hey, I'll put that in my book," or did this all sort of come together rapidly?
Oh, that not at all. So the last thing I could barely do my son's fourth grade algebra right now, but write a book? No. You know what? It was my first year at Kansas City, and Lee came up to me and goes, "Hey, how many balls did you block in the dirt tonight to save runs?" And I looked at him, like, I go, "Who the hell are you?" And that was how we introduced ourselves, kind of like, get out of here. Well, the next night he was talking about our second baseman was getting booed a lot, hadn't had a hit in a while. And it was 0-0 tie, eighth inning, and our second baseman came up, hit a ground ball to second base like he's supposed to do, and got booed off the field. Well, you know what? Next guy to sack fly, we won the game. And he came up and we started talking about the positive things about baseball. And then a couple other incidents happened, and I said, "Yeah, you should write a book, man. It's actually pretty good stuff." First person I've ever seen that has actually wrote positive things about, what is actually going on in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Hey, you want to write one with me?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, okay." And I had an arm surgery, and he came over and watched the game with me, and he goes, "Well, I kind of started a chapter, this and that." And I said, "Who are you talking about? You're nuts." And then I had a friend of a friend that knew somebody in New York, and I said, "Hey, here's a number. Call and see what you can do." Then next week or so, guy loved it. We get a check in the mail. I'm like, "Man, I got to do this now." But it was actually really, really fun. And if a handful of people will get a book and that make going to a ballpark more enjoyable, because it's just little things. It's common sense for a baseball player, but a lot of people might not know it, and it'll make the game more enjoying. Because sometimes baseball does get boring if you don't know what's going on. But if you do know what's going on, it's the greatest game in this world.
Well, listen, they always say in sports, would I want that guy in my foxhole? And you're one of those guys. You're always willing to take one for the team as well. And you just happen to be an all-star player as well. We want to encourage everybody to check out Throwback, A Big League Catcher Tells How the Game Is Really Played by Jason Kendall along with Lee Judge. It is available from St. Martin's Press. Hey, really great to finally get a chance to talk to you. And hopefully down the road we can talk baseball again, Jason.
Perfect. Guys, be good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline.